Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want to continue from the series we started last week, God's Prosperity Plan for His Children. You can call this part two with a subheading, Understanding the First Truth. I think it's my responsibility as a pastor, as a teacher, as a preacher, to teach my congregation what the Word of God says. Wisdom Assembly is not a place we play games. I don't even like playing games. I'm serious with my life. I'm serious with my Christian life. But the onus rests on me to teach you by the Holy Spirit. And the onus rests on your hearts to open up, to receive it, so that you can grow thereby and walk in the plan, the prosperity plan of the Most High God. And I do not stand on the pulpit to share with us something I read somewhere that interested me, and then I have to share with you. No, I'm sharing this with us because this is the ground upon which I personally and my family stands, praise the Lord, and what we practice. Amen. Let me start by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2 and 26. For to the person who pleases him, how many God pleasers do we have in the house? How many God pleasers do we have in the house? Come on, word and sound. For to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering, watch this, and collecting, so that he may give it to one who pleases God. That's deep. This too is vanity and chasing after the wind. The one who does not please God walks and gathers and save and can eat and sit on the can. And then one day God will take him away and take all that he has canned and open the can and give it to somebody else that pleases God. Does God have that authority? Does he have that authority? Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you a God pleaser? Come on, ask the next neighbor beside you and behind you. Are you a God pleaser? Psalm 86, verse 12. The psalmist said, O Lord of hosts. I'm reading the Amplified. Deliberately, simplified English. O Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you, believing in you, that's the emphasis, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation. How blessed is that man and greatly favored who trusts in God. I've gotten to a point in my life, I'm still a work in progress. But God has brought me to a point where I get calls and somebody will say, oh, somebody is coming to America. What do you want? What do you need? What do you want me to send to you? Many years ago, I would have a quick answer. But today, I don't have quick answers. The last one I got a couple of days ago, I said, let me think about it. You are giving me a carte blanche. And I said, let me think about it. And I'm still thinking, I don't even know what I will say. Praise God. God wants his children to prosper. How many of you believe that? That God has your prosperity at heart. Psalm 35 verse 27, like we read last week. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in you having more than enough. God has pleasure in me having more than enough. I'm laying some foundations here. Malachi 3:6. He said, for those who think the law and the New Testament, they are not the same, is a different God in the Old Testament and a different God in the New Testament. He said, for I am the Lord. I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. He says, my covenant I will not break. Isn't that true? He said, that is why, O sons of Jacob, how many sons of Jacob are here? We are spiritual sons of Jacob. He says, that is why you have not come to an end. That is why Satan has not taken over your life. That is why you are not consumed. I don't change. I don't grow old. I don't shift ground. I don't move pace. I'm everlasting. I am from everlasting to everlasting, the unchangeable changer. Wherever you need me to be, I will be there for you. Whenever you need me, I will show up for you. I am that I am. God is not I was. Folks, let me break your theology. And I like doing that many times. The first fruit came before the law of Moses. The first fruit came before the tithe. Even before Abraham will say, let me give tithe of all to Melchizedek, the prince of peace, the first fruit had been in existence prior. And the proof is in the word of God. If you look closely at the story of Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4. For sake of understanding, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 7. What I sound, if you can project Amplified Bible, that will be fine. Now the man Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have obtained a man, baby boy, son, with the help of the Lord. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Some school of thoughts have confused this and thought that Cain and Abel are twins. They are not twins. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks of sheep and goats. But Cain cultivated the ground. Watch this. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Sounds correct and right. But Abel brought an offering of the finest firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. Firstborn And the Lord had respect, regard for Abel and for his offering, for his first fruit. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect. Let me stop here a minute. God did not disdain Cain's offering because it was fruit from the ground. And God did not accept Abel's offering because it was an animal. Abel brought it as soon as it was delivered. He thought of God first. Amen? Cain did not think of God first. Cain thought of God later. So the Bible says, so Cain became extremely angry, indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look annoyed? If you do well, believe in me, and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? If you do well, if you do what is acceptable to me, will you not be accepted? The reason why I did not accept what you brought, and you may think what you brought is wonderful, and God said it's not pleasing to me. I'm an afterthought to you. I don't want to be an afterthought. And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you. Sin wants to overpower you. Sin puts pressure on you. He said, but you must master it. Don't be greedy. Master it. Subject your appetite. Put it down. Without a shadow of doubt, Abel was a lover. Abel was a God pleaser, so God accepted him. That's number one proof that the first fruit is before the law. The second proof is in Genesis 22. Please project Genesis 22. After these events, God tested and proved Abraham. Like we too, we have, you know, I've told you time and time again, money is a test. What you have when God makes a demand on it is a test. God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I tell you. You mean the Isaac that I waited for how many years? The one that I was conned on? The one that people abused me on? You mean this our Isaac? The one you said we will have? This one? God said yes. So Abraham rose early in the morning. I don't want to go into the semantics of, oh, he didn't tell Sarah this and that. That's important. Sometimes my wife will come to me, but you didn't tell me that. I know the reason why I didn't tell you. Amen. Some things, there's no discussion. Praise the Lord. God has said it, has said it. But make sure God said. You know, don't be like that person who said, God said to me, he was talking to his wife. The wife was crying. He said, God said to me, your cry is a fake cry. That guy needs deliverance. He needs deliverance. So God was so, your revelation knowledge was so high that even the cry of your wife, God knows, is a fake one. Amen. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and then began the trip to the place of which God told him. To cut a long story short, Abraham traveled 3 days to get to Mount Moriah. 3 days journey. And God said, I'll show you the exact place. 3 days he had to meditate and to change his mind. Hallelujah. You make decisions in church, and by the time you drive 30 minutes home, you have changed your mind. This man had 3 days to reach the point and change his mind. But one thing was this. When he got to the place, he saw it afar off. He told two of his servants, wait here for us, myself and the lad. We are going yonder and we are going to come back to you. He already said in his heart, if I kill him, God will raise him up. Because this is the promised child. He didn't promise us another one. This is the one he promised us. So, if he sells me to kill him, it will wake him up again. Abraham was that confident. And he went. God was testing his heart. He was preparing the wood. Even his son asked him, Father, where is the sacrifice? He spoke faith. He said, God will provide. Hallelujah. Remember what I said to you. Stop saying what people say. Say what God says. God will provide. I heard a story of, or I heard a testimony of Bishop Idahosa. They were building their church or the university, I can't remember. And they came and said, sir, we don't have any more materials. He said, it's a lie. Said, I command the materials to multiply. And they said, the materials multiplied. I said, Lord, when do I get this kind of anointing? When are you going to give me this kind of anointing? Huh? I'll just look at Prince Wayne. Grow taller. Daddy G has that anointing. Amen. He has that grace on his life. You know, some people will misuse that anointing. Just be in your room. You see a bank slip. All the money in that bank. Come here. All right. At the point of sacrificing his son, God spoke. God now said, if you scroll down, let me bring out that part of scripture because it's extremely, extremely important. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting something? Amen. Let's read from verse 10. Come on, what a sound from verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called. You see where you see a capital angel there? That's Jesus. That's Jesus right there. Because he had not appeared as Jesus. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, Here I am. I pray that you will hear God. I say, I pray you will hear God. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know. That makes it there for me. Now I know your heart. I know that you fear and revere God. Since you have not held back from me or begrudged me, begrudged giving me your son. How many times have you begrudged in your heart, in your giving? Grudgingly giving. And God sees that heart. Yes, the money will be gone. The accountant will count it. It will go to the church bank. But God sees the heart. Says your son, your only son. Watch this. Next verse. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham had said to his son, God will provide. And because he obeyed God, God provided. What did he do? He put God first. And God did not disappoint him. When you put God first, you shall not be disappointed. I say you shall not be disappointed. Hallelujah. God, Abraham's heart had already given up Isaac. And it was that heart that God saw. Until we let go of what God is asking us, we will not be able to receive the fullness of what he has for us. Don't you know? Obedience brings transformation. Obedience raises the level of God's love for you. Now let's come to the crux of the matter. Exodus 13, verse 1 to 2, and verse 12 to 13. Exodus 13, 1 to 2, 12 to 13. The Lord spoke to Moses, now the law, saying, sanctify to me, that is set apart for my purpose, every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of animal, it is mine. It sounded like God is a mafia. Say, it's mine. Anything that opens the womb is mine. Anything that opens the womb of the year is mine. God laid claim on it. And when God says something belongs to him, you better not struggle it with him. He says, you shall set apart, verse 12, and dedicate to the Lord all that first opens the womb, all the first males of your livestock, shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem by substituting a lamb as a sacrifice for it. But if you do not wish to redeem it, then you shall break its neck. The donkey is unclean. The donkey is not acceptable to God. And God says, though it's the firstborn, you can't offer that to me. You have to substitute the donkey with a lamb. So you can keep the donkey, but give me the lamb. But if you don't want the donkey, if you don't want to substitute because you think the lamb is worth more than the donkey, kill that donkey. If I can't have it, you can't have it. And every firstborn among your sons, because God doesn't want us to be cannibalistic. Doesn't want us to make our children pass through fire or sacrifice them by killing them. He says, redeem them. Redeem them. How? That is buyback from God. with a suitable sacrifice. I didn't write it, it's in the Bible. Do you know that God is extremely serious about the first and Him being the first? God is serious about the first and about Him being the first. When God is first, everything out of order in your life, in your home, God will begin to put them in order. It's a supernatural law. Hallelujah. The word of God is not a suggestion. And the word of God should not be a burden. It's like you telling your son, go and do your homework, read. And the boy is like, but I just came back from school. How many of you, when you were growing up, not in America, you immigrants, you aliens, when you finish school, what do? You go to lesson. It's like your brain has not received enough. When you now get to lesson, you start learning again. The teacher that beat you in school, the lesson teacher too will beat you so that you can learn. That's how many of us became smart. American children. But I've been, my daughter said, somebody in kindergarten said, I don't want to go to school today. I said, you lie. Why not? He said, school takes too long and mommy is at home. You have to, so that when you grow, you have a lot of money. You know? But when we are pushing them, they think we are hard on them, but we are pushing them for what? For their benefit. It's going to pay off for them. But parents who hug their children to death, leave him alone, no. He has done enough. This and that, okay. When the time comes, we will see who have done enough. Praise the Lord. Because when children get to a point whereby there's nothing you can do again, it will just be prayer alone. You can't command them to do anything for their benefit anymore. Hallelujah. So the truth is that if we withhold what God says is His own, guess what? You are bound to lose it anyway. One way or the other, that's where the devil has authority to come and collect it one way. Which way? Anyway. Hallelujah. He says, the firstborn must be sacrificed or you redeem it. That's the first fruit. If you look at scriptures carefully, everything about scripture points to Jesus Christ. Just Jesus. From beginning to the end. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God mentioned there, you already mentioned Jesus. And the Holy Spirit moved. And God said, you already mentioned Jesus. Up to the very end. It's all about Christ. Watch this. If you were not born in sin, raise up your hand. You were not born in sin. You see? We were all born in sin. Amen? Every one of us, born in sin. Therefore, we were unclean. Whether firstborn, lastborn, middleborn, eighthborn, ninthborn, God could not have accepted us. Why? Because of the way we were. We were unclean. But until Jesus was born, Jesus was born clean. Holy Ghost conception in the womb of a virgin. How many of you know that? Mary, oh Lord, Maybe I shouldn't say this. Mary was actually 14 years old when she was betrothed to Joseph. Mary was 14 years old when the Holy Ghost came, when the Lord came and spoke to through Gabriel. You are going to carry that holy thing. The prime of her youth. I'm not saying she got pregnant at 14. I say she was visited at 14. That's what church history says. Amen. The clean has to be sacrificed for the unclean to be redeemed. Am I correct? The lamb for the donkey. Praise the Lord. But if it's a lamb first, kill it and sacrifice it. Give it to God. But if it's a donkey, unclean. The donkey is useful for your job, for your work, for your livelihood. If you need him and you want God to bless it, substitute it with a lamb. Jesus became that substitute for you and I, so that we can be cleaned, so that we can be redeemed. Did you not see it? That until Jesus died, we could not be accepted by God. Even those who died before Christ, only one person went to heaven, and that was Enoch. Every other person went to Hades and a place later called Abraham's bosom. And when Jesus died, he went to lead captivity. You watch the word. It says leading what? Captivity. Where were they held captive? In Abraham's bosom. He went to unlock. Now, follow me. I'll lead you there. I'll take you there. I'll take you there. Most probably was not Enoch alone. And Moses too. Amen. Because Moses was about 120 years old, right? And God is like, if I don't kill this guy, he won't die. Moses, come. Come up. Sleep. It's time for you to die. And he saw from Mount Pisgah, he saw Canaan. And he said, oh, Moses didn't make heaven. That's an erroneous teaching. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, who showed up? Moses and who? They were already in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So until Jesus died, we could not be accepted by God. It was the sacrifice of his blood that made us acceptable. Not because, oh, I'm pretty, I'm handsome, I'm tall, I'm this, I'm that. No, God looks at the blood. He looks at you through the blood. He looks at you through the blood. He looks at you through the blood. When David was going to look at the house of Saul, the children of Jonathan, how did he see them? He saw them through the eyes of Jonathan. Hallelujah. He saw them. He didn't see them. He saw Jonathan. Who else is left among the children of Jonathan because of Jonathan? Because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we're redeemed. That's why we're acceptable. The just for the unjust. This is where you should shout a good hallelujah. So, when we disdain the first fruit, when we disdain the tithe, watch this. We are simply rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Why? Jesus is God's first fruit. Jesus is God's tithe. Hallelujah. I say Jesus is God's first fruit. And Jesus is God's tithe. Amen? God did not wait. I say, you know what? When they change, and they are born again, then I will send my son to go die for them. I think did I get the Texas accent? That's my own accent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The sacrifice of his son is what redeemed us, is what made us acceptable. God is saying, give me the first fruit. Watch this. Not after you have had many. Because your trust in me and your faith in me is what will guarantee the rest. Hallelujah. So that the rest you will have will be acceptable and will be blessed. Then the rest can satisfy you. You know, I told us I was going to teach us some simple tea account. I'm going to still do it. This is a series of probably 8 weeks. Hallelujah. Abel gave his first fruit by faith. God gave Jesus by faith. Abraham offered Isaac by faith. Not because they had a reserve. It's not that you can't have a reserve the year before. Praise the Lord. The first is what redeems the rest. In closing, he says, if the first cannot be given, break his neck. If you don't want to give the first fruit, you will lose it. First fruit must be offered in the church, in the house of God. From what our general overseer wrote, and which is so true, the first fruit is actually meant for the priest. Amen? But from the time I was a Christian, this church, we give our first fruit to the general overseer for the covering over this ministry by the grace of God. I don't take the first fruit home. And neither do I want to take it home. Let me share some secrets with you here. In the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Thanksgiving offering, according to what they said, that's what the pastor should be blessed with, and let him do with it whatever he chooses to bless other people. But then, where I was coming from, when Thanksgiving offering on a Sunday is like £12,000, I didn't have the heart to collect it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because no. How can I? And then, okay, go and spend it however you like and bless people. No, let it be in the church account. Let's bless people from the church account. From that time, I refuse to do it. I'd rather be the giver than the receiver. Exodus 23:19, he says, you shall bring the first, the choice first. The first of the first fruit of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord. Into where? Come on now, don't let that take your voice. Where do you bring your first fruit?
You have no authority over it where it goes. Don't give it to one prophet in your hometown
who prophesies to you.
So bring it to the house of God, the house where you are blessed with the word, the house where you are fed with the word, the house where blessings are pronounced
over your life. Proverbs 3, 7 to 10. I love this scripture. Let's read together. Everybody look up. Let's read together. One, two, go. Go on. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't be wise in your own eyes. Turn to the other neighbor. Neighbor, don't be wise in your own eyes. Honor the Lord with your offerings and with your first fruits. Blessing is guaranteed in your life.